Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along. There'll be no more sobbing when he stops robbing his home. Sweet song, wake up, you sleepy head. Get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, love and be happy. What if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
Mounting up as defeat at Accrington makes it 7 without victory. Tuesday's game with Gillingham at the Valley has become a whole lot bigger. Welcome to Charlton Live. So hello everybody and welcome to Charlton Live on your Sunday afternoon. My name is Louis Mendez. I hope you are all well. On this week's show, we'll be looking back at yet another loss. 2-1 defeat up at Accrington Stanley yesterday leaves us hovering just 7 points above the relegation zone. It's certainly getting a bit tighter than perhaps we predicted, and it'd be even worse if we lose to Gillingham, who come to the Valley on Tuesday. They sit inside the relegation zone, those 7 points behind us. So a massive game coming up on Tuesday. But to look ahead to that one, and of course, look back at yesterday's loss up at Accrington. With me is Mr. Terry Smith. Hayden Tell.
Yeah, I'm good, Louis. Thanks. I definitely drew the short straw, didn't I?
Yeah. It's you were mad enough to actually want to go to the game, as was I. So therefore, we're the ones who have to talk about it, unfortunately. But you know,
we have to suffer because of it. Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
that's the word. I've got plenty of it though now. I think I'm oversubscribed on the character front.
Yeah, character coming out of your ears. Well, that's why everyone loves your tail, right? So in a few moments' time, we're going to hear the highlights. We will, of course, hear from the gaffer Johnny Jackson as well. We've got your tweets and emails, and we've got some fans' bar reaction. I managed to grab a couple of supporters on the platform at Accrington train station after the game yesterday to give me their views. We'll also, as I said, look ahead to the Gillingham game as well, which takes on a whole new meaning, really, after they won up at Doncaster yesterday and we were beaten and the gap is tightening. And as it stands, Terry, I don't know where the next 3 points are coming from. And that's why I'm still not overly worried, but just a little bit more worried than I was yesterday, certainly.
I think being worried and being a Charlton fan tend to go hand in hand. So I don't think anybody would be too surprised if you're worried, because you certainly won't be alone. Where do you start? I mean, it's so much to rake over, and everybody's got their own opinions of it, and quite rightly so. It's this Jekyll and Hyde stuff, you know. They put in a shift against Sunderland at the Valley, and you think, right, they've had this meeting, and they've cleared the air, and we're good to go now. You know, they've had their blip, and it was a tough six fixture run that caused it. So now we're back to, you know, back to where we should be. Let's kick on, and we go out to Accrington and don't. It's just mad. It's just, you don't. I mean, we're supporters, and we don't know what's happening from one game to the next. And it appears Johnny Jackson doesn't know what he's going to get out of players in the same way. He just doesn't know what's coming.
Yeah, and it must be so frustrating for him. And we'll hear his post-match interview later on in the show. But first of all, let's have a listen back to what actually happened at the Wham Stadium yesterday on Charlton TV alongside Peter Shurtliff, where Greg Stubley and Terry himself.
He's at him rather. It's now with Clare. Clare sees Lee on the left side of the penalty area. Comes in, takes a shot. Tipped away by Savin. And it's the first corner of the afternoon. Charlton coming close to opening the score.
It's all sent forward now, and it's turned Charlton, and it's an early shot coming in from Adedoyin, and the first one in anger for the home side, dealt with well by McGillivray. Into the danger area, it's a tall one. It's a header comes in, and it's just wide of the right-hand post. Fans around us thought that might have sneaked in the right-hand side. It was Sykes with the header.
Pointed it nicely into the channel.
Perrington throws it into Lee.
That's the sort of areas you want Lee getting the ball, isn't it, you know?
It's it backwards. Poor clearance from Accrington. Oh, Lee's called for the handball, and the referee might have given this, you know.
Has he given
it? Lee was, looks that way because Elliot Lee tried to bring it under control. See the man, I think it might have been Coyle who was beside him. And the ball bounced up. And
me, that,
I didn't see it. There was a player in front of me. I couldn't see it, but immediately Lee called for the handball. The referee seemed to take an age to give it.
He did.
Snockley steps up for Charlton. Strikes it and scores! 17 and a half minutes gone. Charlton have the lead here. A Stockley penalty. It's going to be hotly disputed, you'd imagine, by the home side, but Charlton have the lead.
A potential shot as McConville swings it in. It's a high ball in the penalty area. It falls to Nottingham, flicks it back in, and it's headed by up by Lavelle. It's up in the air again, and a shot comes in. Well, when they've hit the bar, it's still not cleared. It's a header back in, and it's eventually in. It's the ultimate goalmouth scramble. Charlton couldn't clear their lines. It's a header back in by Rogers. And then eventually, it was Longello who managed to convert. Charlton really struggling to clear the ball. And in the end, Longello with the header, couldn't keep it off the line. I think it was Lavelle there. And Accrington have their equaliser in the most scrappiest of ways.
Gets the ball first, but deflects nicely into the path of Pell. Pell looks to switch the ball across towards Bishop, who heads behind him to Lee. It's a neat header. Lee cuts inside on his right foot with the shot, and it's 2-1. It's a lovely finish by Lee. Charlton again, question marks over how much time Lee was able to cut inside and fire beyond McGillivray. It's a nice counter-attack from Accrington, and they retake the lead.
It's amazing. Charlton were crossing the ball into the Accrington box, and the next thing, they've got players running free to get on the ball.
Hamilton's there, and there is a half-time whistle. It's a frantic first 45 minutes. Now Charlton will look to counter through Lico. Chance to take on Nottingham. Lico drifting out wide, cuts back inside, nice feet. Lico with the shot, and it's deflected away by Rogers. And Charlton will have the corner. Pell with the cross, it's a decent cross. Headed down by Sykes off the line by Gunter. Headed back in towards Sykes again, who can't convert from yards out. And that's two glorious opportunities for Accrington in a matter of seconds.
Ball up in the air. Clare will jump.
Oh, referee
leads him with his arm, and Charlton aren't happy at all with Lee for that.
I thought that was a serious elbow there. I really did.
Contact's on.
Like
Clare Gunter is, who's absolutely furious. The decision for the referee to make as he pulls Lee away. And there will be a red card for Tommy Lee.
I agree. He led with his elbow, and he actually moved his elbow towards the boy's face. It was a really bad challenge.
Accrington down to 10 men.
Line to Lico. Lovely bit of footwork from Lico. Just can't see the ball across. And another handball claim here by Charlton.
Wow.
They're screaming at the officials. Have to see that again because view was blocked. It's a corner, I think, at the very least. And that's what's been
very
given.
Ball chip forward. Looking for the run of Washington.
Lovely control by Washington. Oh, and he finishes.
Offside.
Oh, and he's offside. Oh.
What's he given? He's given handball.
He's given handball?
I think he's given handball, the assistant. And Washington's been booked, maybe for his arguing, and I think that's a handball. In everything that Charlton has thrown forward. And that is the final whistle. It's ended here. And a 2-1 defeat for the Addicts.
There we go, Tell. The highlights, if you can call it that. I mean, frustration. I mean, we did actually have a couple of chances in the game, which probably sets it aside from a few of the performances we've had over the last few weeks. But, I mean, actually, it was poor. It was bad. You know, we scored through a very soft penalty. Had half a chance for Elliot Lee before that. But then, again, as soon as we concede a goal, and we'll come on to the manner of those goals shortly, we don't really look like playing our way back into games. And that's probably been the case for the majority of this seven-game winless run that we've been on now. And that was certainly the case yesterday.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it's more than just conceding a goal, actually. I think we started brightly enough yesterday, the opening 5 minutes or so, I think. And as you say, Elliot Lee had that shot that the keeper tipped around the post. And if that had gone in, would it have made a difference? I'm not so sure, because as soon as Accrington got into their rhythm, as it were, into their style of play, and they started launching the ball up into the air towards our penalty box, panic set in. Basically, that's the only thing I can use the word to describe it. You know, as soon as the ball started going up in the air and Jason Pearce and Lavelle were being turned and being out-muscled at times, panic set in. And Charlton just didn't seem to know how to deal with it. And they must have, because that's the way Accrington play, they must have gone through the procedures about what was coming. And when it came, we just didn't know what to do about it. And that goes across the side. Yes, there were players that obviously put a shift in and tried their hardest, but generally, we just appeared not to be able to deal with what Accrington were throwing at us. And I'll go all the way back to Craig McGillivray in that, because, you know, that first equaliser that they got, or the equaliser they got, rather, it was just mad. I mean, I don't know how long it was in the box, but it seemed to be an age. And there seemed to be several occasions where we could have just wiped it clear, as they did on a few occasions, and didn't. It's almost like we were scared of what was going to come. The ball was too hot. I don't know what was going on. It was just bonkers. And that, you know, the tone was set prior to the equaliser. I think it came after half an hour, wasn't it? The equaliser, I think.
Yeah.
But the tone was set a good quarter of an hour before that, and we didn't know how to deal with it, and that panned out for the rest of the game. We had plenty of possession, I think. I think we probably edged the possession, but then when they went down to 10 men, you expected Charlton then to at least, and you expected Accrington to sit behind the ball. You get that, but why didn't at least look? It works for them. Why didn't we just revert to doing what they did to us? All right, they had Sykes at the back, who was about 20 foot tall, but you know, we never even attempted to turn them round. We just played in front of them the whole rest of the game. It was just maddening, is the word I'd use.
Yeah, I mean, I dive straight in then to this first goal, which ironically is what the keeper's not doing at the moment. In terms of coming out, and it's not only his fault, okay, but it is something I've picked up probably all season, if we're being fair. You know, Macca, he's an okay shot stopper. He does make some good saves, although again, even the second one yesterday, I mean, look back at it, I'm not certain. But, I mean, that situation where the ball's bouncing around the six-yard box, you need your goalkeeper to come and clear it. So, like last week against Sunderland, am I right in thinking he got man of the match for a couple of saves? Or was it recently? I can't remember which one.
No, it was Sunderland. It was between him and Jason Pearce. I think he edged it, I think.
And so, but how many times in that first 20 minutes did they put a corner or a free kick onto the edge of our six-yard box? And it was it Ross Stewart, their big striker, was able to have an unchallenged header? Because there's no protection for the defence inside. There's no commanding of that six-yard area. And it's been something that's happened over and over again. Now, I don't know if you've had a chance, Tell, to look at the YouTube video highlights of yesterday's game. But when that goal's going in, the camera is sitting pretty much above where we were in the Accrington fans and just behind the Charlton dugout. And so you can't tell exactly who it comes from, although I have my suspicions. But when the ball's bouncing around inside the six-yard box, you can hear a yell that comes from the Charlton technical area saying, "Where's the effing goalkeeper?" Because he's not commanding that part of the goal, that part of the goal mouth. And it puts pressure on the defence, who haven't been able to deal with pressure recently.
And look, it's not an easy gig being in goal up at Accrington, and especially yesterday. The wind was swirling round, and so it would have been a difficult thing. But that's what he should do. And actually, if you looked in the second half when they did go down to 10 men, was it Toby Savin was their keeper?
I like to call him Toby Savin because he's a goalkeeper. Saving, that'd be so much better if that was his name. Yeah,
that's true. Well, it might well be. Who knows? But he had to come for a ball, and he wiped out himself as well as Jaden Stockley, and he came off worse. But that's what you want your keeper to do. You want him to almost run over people in an effort to get to the ball. And it didn't seem like Craig either wanted to or was able to do it, because I mean, how many times was the ball in the air and he's almost rooted to the spot waiting to, or hoping that from a set piece, maybe Stockley or somebody else, Lavelle or Pierce, would get their head to it and clear it. And Claire did a couple of times. But for that equaliser, it was almost like he just watched it bouncing around. It's almost like, you know, you're watching a ping ball coming down towards you. And then you realise you should have your hand on your flippers. And by the time he realised he should have his hand on the flippers, the ball's in the back of the net.
And the second goal, it's unusual to see a goalkeeper beaten by that far from that far out and not get that close to it. I mean, again, I think Sam Lavelle will feel he could have done better before allowing Tommy Lee to cut in. But you know, there were at least two parts of that goal that I felt we could have done better with.
Yeah, and I haven't watched it back, but from memory of the goal as it happened, I think he got his hand to it, Craig, but not enough to keep it out. But as you rightly say, Lavelle allowed him to cut inside, and now if he's right-footed, you know, you've got to show him out. You've got to show him outside. I mean, how many times have we done that this season as well, by the way? But it's not just Sam Lavelle. I mean, if you look around, from memory this is, because I haven't seen the replay, but I'm pretty sure there were two or three players just walking back towards where... who was it that scored the goal? Was it Tommy Lee? I think it was
Tommy Lee,
the one that got the goal.
Tommy Lee with the second, yeah.
They were just walking back. So Sam Lavelle, yes, all right, you should have showed him on the outside. But when we had a player on the ball, they were surrounding us. It wasn't just one player who was in front of the Charlton player on the football. There were two or three hounding us in possession. And that was even when they went down to 10 men. We didn't do that yesterday. We just didn't. Or not for enough, at least, and for that goal especially. Just gave him, I think I said it on comms, freedom of the city, just to cut inside and unleash a shot. Now, from that distance, you'd think your goalkeeper should get it, but you've got to give some credit to Lee for the shot, and maybe put it in just the right place that Craig McGillivray couldn't get to it. Who knows? But, yeah, I mean, two very poor goals, but then it summed up the performance, really. It was a bad performance, so the goals reflected that.
I don't know if you saw my stat on Twitter after the game, but the Who Scored website's very good in that you can create a timeline of the game in order to see the stats from that certain timeline. So I created one from the moment that Tommy Lee was sent off for the red card for the elbow on Sean Clare. From then on in, we had 70% of the ball. And I think, I can't remember if overall we edged possession, but that part of the game we had 70% of the ball. And there was only one more shot, a legitimate shot, obviously, because Connor's goal was ruled out. In that half an hour, and it weren't us who had it. Like, that summed us up when we were trying to play our way back into it. We never looked like getting back into it. And the concern is that we needed players back, but we're starting to get those players back now, and we're not a goal threat.
Yeah, I think it's a bit more than that. I mean, I think Johnny Jackson mentioned it afterwards. I was listening to his post match, and It's a similar tale to ones he's done before, except maybe for Sunderland, where, you know, you need characters, you need players to dig in, and we just don't seem to be able to do that on a consistent enough basis. I mean, you last night's an example, but so's Hartlepool on a cold Tuesday night. Do you know what I mean? You hark back at sides before where we've been successful, and going to places like Hartlepool or Accrington Stanley on a cold, wet, miserable afternoon or evening is when you want your players to step up and show that they're capable of performing in that environment as well as in a lovely environment at the Stadium of Light or at the Valley or, you know, other big grounds. Those are the grounds you need to go to and put in performances in to warrant being near the top of the table. And sadly, on too many occasions, we haven't shown it.
Yeah, was it 25 points off the playoffs now?
I think that's probably a stretch too far. I mean, the last time I was on here, I'm trying to think, was it with Mark? And I said, you know, I was still quite positive. I mean, all right, it's a while ago now, but I was still quite upbeat, even though everybody else said our players have gone. I was still, you know, there's still points to play for, and never say never. Football's about being positive and expecting the unexpected. Well, yeah, that's become a bit me in the backside, isn't it?
Yeah, no longer unexpected can be expected, unfortunately. When I was doing my intro yesterday on Radio London, I think I mentioned how far, I think at the time it was 22 points away from the playoffs. And I remember thinking to myself, like when they're speaking about Brentford, they aren't saying how far off winning the league they are. Maybe I really shouldn't be getting involved in this conversation anymore. But the manner of the performance is obviously one thing, and we'll hear from Johnny shortly. But this team needs something to change now. And obviously the formation has been something that a lot of fans have mentioned. But whatever it is, to give a short, sharp shock, to shake them out of this form that they're into. And it doesn't seem to be personnel, because changes have been made recently in terms of personnel. So what else is there? What other than trying something slightly different just to see if that gets a reaction?
I think you found, wasn't it, Nigel Adkins did pretty much the same thing. He was, I don't think we had the same side 2 weeks in a row, because he was struggling to find a formula that worked, and he didn't this season, I mean, especially. But Johnny Jackson could probably end up doing the same thing towards the end of the season. And, you know, we've got a sort of hope that, and this sounds terrible, of course, that we limp home, that we manage to get enough points just to get to a point where we don't have to worry about anything underneath us, and then press the reset button. Now, we've heard that before, of course, but I think, judging by his comments yesterday, and to a lesser extent after Sunderland, I think he knows now, more than ever, that that maybe the squad he's got hasn't got the required character, ability is not the right word, I don't think, because I don't doubt that the players have got the ability, because we went on that winning streak when he was caretaker manager, that showed that they do have the ability, because we put in some really good performances during that period. So it's not about that, it's about something else. And maybe that's what he's finding out now, the hard way, of course. And everybody's making comparisons to Chris Powell's first stint, or not first stint, the first half season or remainder of the season at Charlton, before then absolutely ripping up the sheet and starting again. And then we won promotion the following season. Now, we've got to hope that that's the type of thing we're able to do, and Johnny's able to do, because I think that's what it needs.
Yeah, because, I mean, how many signings was it that summer? 17, 18,
something
18, like
I think
that?
18 rings a bell, yeah.
And most of them done before pre-season. But don't forget, Thomas said he reckons between 2 and 5 this summer. I mean, that will get alarm bells ringing, when, especially if it's 2. If we only sign 2 players...
After a performance like Sunderland, then maybe that's what you think. You know, you'd say, well, you know, they all put in good shifts and he played really well that day, so maybe he's going to be okay next season. But then when you see a performance like yesterday and you start thinking, well, and not just yesterday, I mean, this is a combination of a number of performances, both prior to Johnny Jackson taking over and since, that haven't been good enough. And so it's not a question of whether you can do it once every 2 months, or once every 3 weeks, or once every even once every second week. You've got to do it week in, week out, on a Saturday, then a Tuesday, then a Saturday again. It's how and if you can do that. And I'm not sure, and I think Johnny Jackson's beginning to realise, that we've got a squad capable of doing that. Or certainly they haven't proved it yet.
Yeah. He's pulling his hair out whenever we speak to him. Obviously, we'll play the interview in a minute, because it was quite an interesting interview with Jacko yesterday. I pushed him on a couple of bits. I know a lot of fans have been asking about Niall John or Juan Castillo, who've not featured as well, so I do ask Johnny about that if you're interested. I was looking up the stats. So Castillo came on at Wigan for a few minutes. I think he came on at Hartlepool for 2 minutes. He started the Milton Keynes game, so there's sort of one start and 2 sub appearances for him. And Niall John's been on the bench 4 times and never actually played a minute. So, I mean, that's one of the things that fans have been confused about. There was a positive yesterday, Connor Washington back on the pitch, and took his non-goal very nicely. I had absolutely no idea it'd been ruled out again, so I was going mental.
Yeah, me too.
And, got some stick from those two very nice women in front of us, but they were a bit cheeky, weren't they, when that equaliser got ruled out.
I love, there was a comment from the lady to your right, my immediate left, when there was a when they were down to 10 men, I think it was, and bearing in mind what had gone on before, there was a lovely quote from that lady where she said, "Come on, Accrington, let's play this on the floor." Which was I don't know if you got the irony in that statement. But,
so maybe it was her first time watching him or something. But
I did wonder. Yeah,
yeah. I imagine she was the woman as well who gave me some. So I sneezed a couple of times during the second half, and she turned around and gave me some tissues very kindly. And then at full time, she asked me if I wanted some more for the way home. And I think she was indicating I'm going to be crying because we
lost. Well, that's fair, to be honest. And bless her for doing that. But I hope you didn't point out that she needed them for the back of her head.
she was funny. So the goal that got ruled out for Connor, I mean, it's almost impossible to tell. And actually, looking back, I don't think it was even on the highlights. So. Any ideas if it was handball from where you were? We had another handball shout turned down, didn't we?
Connor got booked for his protestations about it. I don't think he was very kind to the official that was running the line on our right hand side. He was convinced it wasn't. I remember watching the replay immediately afterwards and thinking it's impossible to tell from the camera angle we were looking at. It was impossible to tell. So you've got to trust that assistant down there who was looking straight at it must have seen it. But, I went mental because it seemed like a get-out-of-jail-free card that we just played and got away with it because we wouldn't have deserved the equaliser, and we didn't deserve the equaliser. So if we'd have got it, then it would have been, we'd have had to sneak out of there with sheepish look on our face. He took it well, and we did actually play better when he came on, and I think that's a key, I think, hopefully, to going forward, because when Connor and Jaden play together, we tend to play better.
Yeah, I did the stat for you yesterday. So it was the last six games, at least one of them scored. This is games where they've both started. At least one of them scored in the last six. And out of the 11 times they've both started in League and Cup this season, nine of them, at least one of them scored. And we're unbeaten in those last six as well. But that last one where they both started was, I think, the Cambridge game in sort of early mid-December. And that sums up our problems at the moment. We don't have our we haven't had our players. Although, as I say, now they're sort of coming back. We're not getting any better, really. So maybe it doesn't sum up our problems.
No, but there's a way we play. And I think balls into the channels is one of them. We very rarely turn defences. And we didn't yesterday, even when they were down to 10. And there was the opportunities. There was one particular glaring opportunity where Jonathan Leake was on the right-hand side. And for the first time since the sending off, we had the opportunity where if we'd have run into the channel, there was a ball through. I think it was Gunter who had the ball. Might have been Clare, actually, thinking about it. Ball in behind, there was space to do it, and he just didn't run. He wanted it to feet, so as he can do that little jinky thing that he likes to do. But the game didn't call for that, because as soon as we played a pass, they were all over us, and we had that one opportunity to go in behind, and we didn't take it. And I'm mentioning that one, but there were others. Connor Washington does that, and he's also a lot more mobile anyway, so he gives us a different outlet and a different way of doing it. Mason Burstow does it to a certain extent. But Connor's just, obviously, he's more experienced and he's cuter at it. And times his run better. How many times did Jonathan Leake get called for offside yesterday? It was maddening. So I think just Connor Washington is better at it than the other players we've got. And that helps Jaden Stockley, because you don't want Jaden Stockley running into the channels. You want him in the edge of the six-yard box to be on the end of it. So hopefully, and fingers crossed here, that Connor Washington can start as fit enough to start on Tuesday, because I think we need him. In the way that we play, we need him. And I think I know people are talking about formations and setting up differently. I'm not sure that would make a lot of difference. I think the way we play and the way we're obviously trained to play needs Connor Washington in the side.
Well, hopefully he can make a difference over the next few weeks. Well, let's hear what Johnny Jackson then had to say after yesterday's game. Despondent Johnny Jackson, I spoke to him and asked him for his views on the performance up at Accrington.
Disappointing. No surprises from them, the way they set up and what they try and do and how they try and hurt you. We worked on it all week, and I don't think they disappointed, and we didn't stand up to it in key moments. In our penalty box, we didn't stand up to it. So obviously coming away with nothing after starting so well, getting in front is disappointing.
Concerning now, I think this is, we're starting to see players come back, but a performance like today, I think you would have expected a lot more from your side.
Yeah, players need to start stepping up now. We are getting players back, but the ones that are given the shirt, they've got to do more. we've got to do more. It's personal responsibility. You know, the goals that we're conceding are the same goals, and we address them, we talk about them, and we work on it and we practice it. Yet, you know, when you go over that white line and you're given a job to do, you have to do it. You have to do it, and that has to come from within. I don't think that they're showing anywhere near their levels of ability at the minute. And you know, if they're not going to step up, obviously I've got a lot of decisions to make now about the future and how I'm going to rebuild this team and what we're going to do going forward. And I need to be ruthless in those decision makings. And I'll find out a lot about the players in the next few games, coming weeks, to see who wants to be a part of that. And if you don't step up, you'll be moved aside, and you won't be part of it.
Why aren't they giving you as much as they did at the start of your caretaker reign? Why is it different now?
It's a good question. I don't think it's a lack of effort. They're giving me that. It's just perhaps a confidence thing with the run of the results. It's difficult to know. It's difficult to get in their heads. But obviously, you know, the level of form in individual players isn't where it was. I don't think it's not a lack of effort, but obviously it's a clear lack of form.
I mean, you talked about similar goals have been conceded. I mean, there's a couple of moments today where I just wonder if, you know, from balls coming into the air at the moment, is your goalkeeper commanding his 6-yard box enough?
I don't think he is, no. The first goals, it's ridiculous, to be honest. Like, there's so many opportunities to be able to clear the ball. Defenders and the goalkeeper, who's obviously a part of that, and you know, you have to stand up and come and help your teammates out at times and relieve pressure, and we're not doing it.
It's a massive game now coming up with Gillingham, obviously with them sitting 7 points behind us in the relegation zone. It's a big, I don't know, is it a shake-up you need? What is it that you need to change the tune from what they've given you between now and then?
Well, yeah, like the reality of the situation, you know, it's a big game, isn't it? It's a big game. Obviously, back at home, which is nice. We have had a tough run of fixtures, and, you know, you're looking at the next few at ones that we have to pick points up in. No games are a gimme. Teams fighting for their lives, but, you know, we have to step up. And, you know, when they step out on that pitch Tuesday night, whoever's selected, they need to show the supporters that they're fighting. And they'll get behind them if they do that, but obviously, you know, they're not going to accept anything less. So it's important that we're right at it Tuesday, with a good opportunity at home to get our first win in a while.
There is good news. We managed to get Connor back on the pitch today, and obviously had that late goal disallowed. I don't know if you had a view on what it was disallowed for.
Well, it was disallowed for handball, but I don't know if it was. I couldn't see from where I was. Connor said it sort of hit his, like, arm, shoulder, top of his arm, shoulder. So that is the case. That's not handball, but obviously it didn't go our way. But yeah, nice to have him back. You know, we know what he's good at. He carries a threat, and we have to try and play to his strength more.
No Niall John or Juan Castillo in the squad today. I know Niall travelled, so I saw him here. But I mean, in general, so you're hoping to get players into the building who are going to boost up your squad. They needed a bit of a lift. Obviously, you've got Scott and you've got the likes of Chucks coming in. But I mean, those are two loanees who've hardly featured. Why haven't they featured since coming to the club so much?
I've got players in those positions that at the moment they're in front of them. You know, obviously I'm judging every day on what I see in training. There have been opportunities. Niall's been unlucky because he's not had a lot of opportunity. Juan's had a couple of opportunities that didn't really take. Niall can count himself unlucky. That he's had opportunities, and I have been looking to try and get him on the pitch at certain times, but the nature of the games and state of play and having to make early substitutions in certain games has stopped me being able to do that. Today, obviously, we had Connor back, which meant that and Sean Clare coming back in, which meant that obviously two had to two from the previous squad had to miss out. So it was just down to my team selection.
Just finally, I mean, when the team were going off there by the away fans, I mean, it was quite reminiscent of, and I can't remember if you played in the game, but away at Dagenham, when Chris Powell was the manager, where the away end was right on top of the tunnel, we were all in there, and it was quite a frosty reception. I mean, that was probably the lowest point of Chris Powell's managerial career. Are you hoping that this is sort of like the bottoming out process for you, where you can start to rebuild now, and maybe a wake-up call for some of the players as well?
Yeah, I mean, that's the reception you're going to get, isn't it, when you're not doing the business. That's what happens when you're on these difficult runs. Supporters are going to voice their opinion, and it's not nice. But they, that comes with the territory, comes with playing for this club. You know, expectations are high, and at the moment we're not meeting them. So yeah, hopefully it's quite reminiscent of that time. Obviously, Pauly went through that tough run there, and used that summer to have a real rebuilding job for the football club, and I think it'll be a similar story this summer. We clearly need to have a shake-up. We clearly need to think about what we're going to do next season and who wants to be a part of it. And, I'm finding out a lot about players in this run.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Kirk again. To his left is Gunter. Gunter with the cross. It's a search across. Chiasini! That's a lovely header for Delaney Chiasini. The searching cross from Chris Gunter. Chiasini beats McFadden to the ball against Cheltenham lead.
Yeah, and we talk about this week in, week out, about players anticipating coming in from the far side, getting inside the fullback, spotting that cross early, making the run, anticipate, get across your man and meet it well. I mean, it's a very brave header from Chiasini.
Charlton Live.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. I hope you guys are enjoying the show. Just before the break there, we heard from the Addicts boss, Johnny Jackson, after yesterday's defeat at Accrington. Again, I mean, he's calling for the players to step up now, Terry. And of course, he'd like to see... You know, he's talking about this rebuild. I asked him about that moment at full time, and you already mentioned it. We're all sort of reminiscing, if that's the right word, about the situation away at Dagenham and Redbridge back in 2011 under Chris Powell, where Jacko didn't actually play in that game. I did look it up after I asked him the question. He wasn't in the squad that day, but he was part of the club that day, so he would have known how poor things were at that moment. And obviously that game in the away end at Dagenham, you're all on top of the tunnel, and the players had to walk through the away fans, and they got what for. And it was very similar yesterday. They were next to the away fans, the tunnel right next to it, and again they gave the players a piece of their mind, and rightly so. And I asked Johnny, I don't know, about the similarities between then and now, but I guess the difference between then and now is that we weren't in danger of getting sucked into the relegation battle, whereas we are very much at the moment.
Yeah, you're right, and there are comparisons to be drawn, but they'll only really be comparisons if we do the same thing, and Johnny's able to do the same thing, and rip up, as I said before, rip up the script and start again. Now, he might be able to do that. I mean, you mentioned before about... Thomas Sengar saying that we're looking at five or six players. He may be able to do it with a fair amount of the existing squad. ripping up the script and starting again may include just making sure the players do what they're supposed to do week in, week out. And maybe that needs a pre-season with them. I don't know. Maybe Johnny Jackson thinks that he can do that with the existing squad. Time will tell, of course. It's certainly a job he's got on, because we will have the same thing next season if we don't. I think that's the worry, that if we don't rip it up and start again, then we're just going to get more of the same. And whereas if we get five or six good players in, we may not struggle towards the bottom end of the table, but then are we going to threaten the top? That's the issue.
Yeah, and, is it anywhere near enough?
Exactly. I mean, and as for the fans giving it to the players, well, look, when you're doing a 500-mile round trip to the frozen north, then you're entitled to vent your spleen a bit, because especially when the team puts in a performance like that, because it's just and look, there's some genuinely nice people in that football squad, and there are some genuinely good players in that football squad. But they've got to expect that when they put in a performance like that, they're going to get it in the neck, and that's part of being a professional footballer. And I don't mean, personal abuse aside, I don't mean personal abuse. I mean, getting it in the neck in terms of that wasn't good enough.
Yeah, and they certainly did yesterday. I can't say I blame anyone who went up there. I should have a word on the people of Accrington. Very welcoming, weren't they? And the club that's going places, it's funny, we were saying to someone on the way out, like, everything about that place is really nice until you start playing football and they try and elbow you in the face.
Yeah, it's the people are lovely. And I was mentioning this, funnily enough, both yesterday and a previous match we've been to, is that when we first came down to League One, going to places like Accrington and Lincoln and Crewe, and they're very welcoming places and very nice people. But I'm bored with it now. I've had enough. I want to go to places where they're less welcoming, maybe a little bit more miserable, but we're slightly higher up in the league, or in the leagues, I should say.
Yeah, hopefully indeed. Right, let's have a look at some of the messages, and they've come in. Plenty of people have had their say. They've emailed studio@charltonlive.co.uk or tweeted at Charlton Live after yesterday's game. Richard says it was the Accrington defeat that did for Nigel earlier on in the season. So what's so different now after 1 point in 21? But Winners responded to him saying, constantly changing managers is no use if the players aren't up to it. Richard saying, well, who chooses the players? I'm not in favour of sackings mid-season. Nigel had to go. It's JJ's status that stops me now. Lose Tuesday and League Two looms. I mean, with Jacko, I really want to get to the summer and to see what he can achieve and see if he can do the power thing. Otherwise, I'll feel this hasn't really run its course, this situation.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. And I think it's fair on Johnny Jackson as well, because he's inherited this squad, albeit bar a few loan signings and Chuck Sonique coming back. He's inherited it. So it's you've got to give him the summer, the signings that he may want, the time that he wants, the time pre-season before launching a league campaign. He should be allowed that, and I think he deserves to be allowed that. And so, I mentioned it before about limping towards the end of this season. Hopefully we'll do that and get won't get sucked into any problems lower down the league, and give him the time to do it, because then he will be judged, and he knows that. And I think I don't think there is a supporter of Charlton Athletic that doesn't want Johnny Jackson to succeed. I'm pretty sure if you had a straw poll, every single fan will want Johnny Jackson to succeed. So let him have the time to do that. But, if we go into next season, as I mentioned earlier, if we go into next season, it's more of the same, then I'm sure Johnny Jackson will expect to be put under that pressure.
Certainly. Right, Carl says, cold light of day. It's clear we're in a relegation fight, lose two of the next three, especially against Jules and AFC Wimbledon, and those teams are only 4 points behind us. Jacko needs to find a way to get a win this week. Have a feeling the atmosphere on Tuesday could become toxic. Right, Bob says, where do we go from here, you ask? Well, first, we need a different goalkeeper. Secondly, we need players playing in their correct positions. Thirdly, please, can we have a proper 4-4-2 with wingers? Don't have the players to play anything else. I'm sticking with Jacko, though, until Christmas. Robert says, we're now looking over our shoulder at the teams below us who are now picking up points here and there. What on earth has happened since the initial Jacko surge in his early games in charge? We can go on about the formation, but ultimately we need the players to stand up and be counted. Who has got the balls to dive in, to block a shot, to run their flaming socks off, to hassle and close down at every opportunity? Because at the moment, we ain't seeing it. Let's see who's hiding Tuesday. Because one thing you can be sure of is that Gillingham will be right up for it. I mean, that's a good point by Robert there. And I asked Jacko the question yesterday, and he actually said, "Oh, that's a good question. It's a tough, as in it's a tough question to ask, and it is." But why is it so different between now and then? Because I was then asked the same question myself when I went back on air, and I was like, "I don't know. Like, I can't put my finger on it."
Well, you can't, can you? And it's impossible to do that because you can't get in players' heads. I mean, I mentioned about Sunderland. You looked at Chris Gunter and you looked at Elliot Lee and Jason Pearce and pretty much everybody. They were throwing themselves in front of shots and throwing themselves into tackles and competing. And then you go up to Accrington and I think bar a few occasions, and I pick out Chris Gunter and Elliot Lee because they did a bit of that yesterday afternoon. But not enough, and defending doesn't start just in your back three, by the way. It starts, especially when you're at Accrington, you know, everybody who's played football will know this. You know, if you've got a team that just is going to lump it forward at every given opportunity, then you try wherever possible to stop that at source. And we didn't. Almost never, actually, yesterday. I don't remember, really, it happening often, certainly not often enough, obviously, where... You know, either the front two or the midfield five, if you like, stop those crosses coming in. How many times did Sykes, as soon as he got the ball, just launch it forward and put us in trouble in both halves? Yeah. And then when they were under pressure in that second half, well, I say pressure, when we had the ball and we threatened a little bit, they didn't care. I mean, how many balls did we lose yesterday, by the way? I mean, they must have been at least on ball 10 by the time the end of the game came. Because yeah, they were just launching the ball out of the stands and anywhere they could. Because no frills, just this is what we do and this is how we win. And that's what they did.
Maybe that's what's holding Accrington back. Because they've been in League One for a number of years now. They're always sort of mid-table. But, I mean, they are investing on infrastructure. Every time we've been there, there's a new stand going up and it's looking good. But also, their ball budget... if they didn't have to do that, they could be in the upper reaches by now.
it'd be a scare. It's probably the biggest expense they've got is replacing footballs.
Andy Holt's very very good at managing his money as well. So
look, it's I mean, you've got to remember, for Accrington Stanley, from where they've come from, you know, mid table in League One for them is a huge success, and they should be applauded for that. By the way, not ridiculed. That's for them. It's quality for that, and every now and again they might flirt if they get some decent players, and they might flirt with the playoffs or even promotion, and that may happen. But you know, they're cutting their cloth accordingly, and the thing is, we expect to be better than that. And rightly so, and we expect a level of performance that matches somebody like Accrington Stanley. And sadly, we're not getting it.
Yeah, when
not getting it enough anyway.
Yeah, when me and Stubbers were sort of debriefing at the side of the pitch just after the game, one of their fans came over and sort of like very very nice, shaking our hands and that, and saying, if you told me when we're in the counties combined Northern League or whatever it's called, that we go on and do the double over a side like Charlton Athletic, I wouldn't have believed you. I said, well, if you've asked me at the start of this season, I probably would have believed you, to be fair.
Exactly. Yeah, you should have asked us more recently, then we probably have got a different answer.
Yeah, right. Teddy tweets in, JJ is far too lenient with those players. It's like they're all just mates. I feel he has no authority over them. They played out their skins for him to get the job, and now I think they get an easy ride. I don't necessarily put the fault at JJ or Thomas Sandgaard's door. But the player's attitude. Alan says, JJ keeps saying, who wants to come on this promotion journey next season? It's been pretty clear that other than a small handful of players, the rest we don't want to see in a Charlton shirt again. I've never felt like that before in over 30 years, but that's how I feel about this group of players. Stuart says, hi guys, I like the theory of a 3-5-2, but we don't have the quality to play it well. Unfortunately, we're a lower third division squad, third division team, and the worst squad I've seen since Andy Nelson was in charge. I'm fearing the worst against Gillingham. Fred said, Gilles must be rubbing their hands for Tuesday night. It was another car crash of performance. No desire and certainly a lack of... he's put a lack of, and then he hasn't put what they're lacking. But I'm sure we can fill the gaps there. Johnny says, honestly, no words. We seem to hear the same response after every game about working on the mistakes and going again. But the next game come around and it's exactly the same. The rot continues. We have a 6-pointer on Tuesday. Who thought we'd be saying that in terms of a relegation battle? And then he says, Tom says, last week I said 50 points is still the aim. I fear if we lose on Tuesday, then Jacko will have to go. 6 defeats in 7 and just above the drop zone when we finished outside the playoffs on goal difference last year is unacceptable. Cooper says, I think this group of players have shown their worth as one of the worst Charlton teams in history for effort and quality. Mix that with a continuous forcing of poor formations and players in the wrong position. Jackson now almost as much to blame with the poor decision-making and set-up. Stephen says it's a shambles from top to bottom. Mitch says, I have no idea how you can work up the motivation to talk about the Stanley mess and no words worth repeating about. So here's a picture of my dog, Freddie, instead. Oh, it's a lovely picture. I'll retweet that for everyone to enjoy. Rachel says, I know this will be unpopular, but can we put some respect on Chris Gunter's name, please? Last four games, he's made blocks on the line to save us and Big Mac from further concessions. He rarely gets to play in his position when he's selected, but he never makes an excuse. Muzza says, I've seen a lot of Jacko outposts on social media. Have we learnt nothing? Sacked various club legends in the past, Seed, Fermoni, Powell, etc. When the real issue has been poor player recruitment and dire club ownership, Jacko needs to build his own squad and not be judged by this motley shower. And then finally, David said, the lack of fight in the side. Peter Shurtliff nailed it on commentary. There's no aggression or challenge in midfield or at the back. So many soft goals and the back three are being exploited. Right, let's hear from some supporters as well. Our fans bar feature after the game yesterday when I trudged back to Accrington Station and bumped into a couple of Charlton fans there, so I asked them for their thoughts on the performance up at the Wham Stadium yesterday.
We started off well the first 10 minutes, I thought, but then, yeah, we just disappeared again and there was nothing. There was absolutely nothing for the whole game. Yeah, it was just really bad. I mean, Washington came back and he tried. He worked his socks off, like my dad said, Elliot Lee worked his socks off. But other than that, there was nothing. There just seems to be something wrong. Maybe not with the team. Maybe just underneath it all, there's just something not right.
Very, very poor. Players don't care. You know, if he wasn't a Charlton legend in charge, then the fans would be calling for his head. You know, the fans, all the fans want is a bit of passion, a bit of fight. And we're not getting that. 5-3-5-2 is not working. Maybe it's changed for 4-4-2. Midfield is very inept. No goals, no creativity. Stockley tries his heart out, no support. What else can I say?
That was awful. That was worse than Sunday. We said it was Sunday League football washing the game, but that was worse. That was worse than Sunday League football. That was awful. The keeper could have probably punched it out 3 times and he didn't even come out once, I don't think. So, yeah, it was very poor.
They could have gone down to 8, we would have noticed. I'm not joking, they could have gone down to 8. We had no creativity, there was absolutely no desire, there was no passion, no forward thinking, nothing. You bring 3 on up front, who's going to give them the ball? All we've done was pass it along the back and then lump it. They had Neanderthals in defence. And Stockley tried his hardest. But, you know, at the end of the day, you need to get the ball on the floor, play around.
Gillingham winning today now. If they win Tuesday, we're in big trouble. We are in big trouble, I think. Look, I love Jacko. I love Jacko as a player. I loved him as a manager for the first 9 games. But I don't think it's his fault. The team, I don't think it doesn't blend. The team don't work together. There's something going on that maybe us fans don't know, but I just don't think there's something not right. And I don't think that's Jackson's fault. Maybe he's not picking the right formation, but with the players, I don't think they give their all. There's like you said, there's 2 or 3 players that will try. But
I think that we'll stay up because the teams below us are that poor. I think if there was 15 games to go off, then I think we were in serious trouble. But I think with the points difference at the moment, I don't think they'll catch us. I think also with us playing Gillingham, Morecambe, Doncaster, Fleetwood at home, I think we'll just get enough points to stay up. There's massive work. We've got 15 players out of contract and loan signings. You know, out of those 15, who do we really want to keep? You know, I think the whole club needs to have a look at Sandgaard from the top.
thanks to those of you who I spoke to at the station yesterday. Some pretty good ones there from Gary and Sean. Hope you guys all got back home safely. Right, we've got a couple of emails as well. Let's have a quick look at McSquared said, Accrington Stanley, who are they? A side that have made us look like a bunch of mugs twice in one season. That's who, exactly. Yet again, not as catchy as the original catchphrase. Yet again, we defended poorly, passed terribly, created very few chances, lacked urgency, were beaten to the ball far too easily and never looked like scoring, even after Accrington went down to 10 men. Even the penalty we were awarded was extremely soft. So Accrington were extremely unfortunate to be behind in the first place. I don't think we've even mentioned that, have we? The penalty that we actually got, handball against Boyle, was it? I mean, I had not. Yeah. I generally thought the referee had seen an offside or something. I didn't realise there was any potential for a handball.
Well, it was Liam Coyle, and when it first happened, we all thought he was giving the handball against Elliot Lee, not the other way around. Because it looked, it didn't just look, it was so soft, it was unreal. Yeah. And we took it, of course, and it was just at the end of that 5-minute spell, or in the middle of the 5-minute spell, where we were actually playing quite well. And we had the 5-minute spell, and it came in a 15-minute period when they were beginning to put us on the back foot and launching balls up front. And then, so when we got it, I think it was after 17 or 18 minutes, the penalty, it was like, wow, how's that happened? And let's make the most of it. You know, we've had our backs to the wall for the last quarter of an hour, and we've just been given this softest of all penalties. Maybe we can kick on from here. And then we didn't, obviously.
We did not. McSquared says, carries on. Lecco was a complete waste of space up front again. Jaisimi didn't do a thing after he entered the fray. Every time the ball was punted into our area, we looked like conceding. Accrington's work rate and determination totally embarrassed us, and our performance was totally unacceptable. We thought we had managed to stop the rot against Sunderland, but perhaps all we really did was slow its growth a little. Something is extremely rotten in the state of SE7. Drastic action is needed. Far too many of our players aren't giving anywhere near 100%, and that is a disgrace, whatever the result. That's from McSquared. Thank you for that. Tom says, morning, gents. Nice and short. Players aren't good enough. They don't play for the shirt. Stick the kids in. Mass clear out in April. Get rid of 90% of them. It cost me £200 yesterday, and they can't even perform for 90 minutes. Didn't even look like they cared as they passed us walking down the makeshift tunnel. As for Jacko, Yule and Skiverton, sadly, I think it may be time for them to go as well, and it pains me to say it. That's from Cabby. Cheers for that, Cabby. Phil says, another week, another poor performance. The saga continues. I don't know if it's just me, but I felt since JJ pushed for and secured the services of Skiverton, the defensive performances have been even more pathetic than prior to his arrival. We're certainly conceding more goals. It appears from sitting a few roles behind the dugout that he has the most influence and involvement, and maybe JJ is a little in awe of his experience, just allowing him to do his own thing too much. I mean, before I read the rest of Phil's email, I've seen Terry's name mentioned by a couple of fans. I mean, I always think that people, I don't know, place too much pressure. Like they look at the coincidence of what happened since he's come in and say it must be his fault. Because don't forget, when he came, we won our first three games after he came in, and people were genuinely saying, "Oh, he's been an excellent influence." Maybe we're overstating, or am I? Am I under-egging how much influence he has?
I think it's a combination of a lot of things. But first of all, obviously you can't have enough Terry's football club. I think that's a gimme.
I think we already had the best one possible.
Well, indeed. But I think look, everybody's scrambling around for an understanding of why it's gone wrong. And so that's normal, to be expected. And when we're going through the sort of run we're in, then there are going to be swipes at every possible angle and an avenue, and Terry's given is one of them. So, you know, you've got to take them on the chin if you're those people in the firing line, because people want to know why. And there are so many probably different reasons for it, and there's an element of maybe a truth in all of it. But you know, everybody's going to swipe at a reason as to why this is happening, and you just got to accept that. And the only way that will stop is if you reverse the trend.
Phil continued, maybe a better option would be Scott Brown or Peter Shurtliff to work with the defence. They were both good players for us, and from the comments they make, they understand exactly where our weaknesses are and what mistakes are being made. I think you meant Steve Brown.
Steve Brown,
I was going to say.
Or a combination of Scott Minto and Steve Brown is probably what he's getting at.
That's exactly what we need. I know I'm a big Jake Forsakaski fan. I can't say enough how much we miss his battling vision and passing ability in the team. We never win or even compete for the loose balls in midfield, and I'm sure that the players are better than they're showing week in, week out. I can't understand why Jake hasn't had any 23s minutes yet. I know he's due next week, isn't he, Tell?
He's due to have a run out Tuesday during the day. I think it's an away game, so we can't go and see him. But he's going to get his first run out next week.
That's lined up for next week. It says, have to pull out all the stops and get a win against Gillingham in midweek, otherwise we will be in a desperate situation. The only good thing is that those below us have played at least one more than us, except Fleetwood. They will have some tough fixtures coming up. Everything will be crossed for Tuesday night, praying for 3 points. Come on, you Reds, you know you can do it. And then Dominic says, it's been a sub-ideal season, hasn't it? That's a nice way of putting it, Dominic.
If
Peter Varney had been appointed CEO or something, things would probably have been different. A good thing is that Sandgaard is clearly still fully committed, so hopefully next season goes a bit better. Sorry if that's all I've got to contribute, but I'm looking forward to the pod as always. That's from Dom. Cheers, Dom. That's more than enough as of a contribution. Thanks for that. And just a final message. This is from Al, looking ahead to the game with Gillingham. Says it's the biggest game of the season so far. If they can't get up for this one and show some fight, then we're in a worse position than I thought we ever were. Come on, you addicts. So Gillingham, I think I looked up. I think it's something like they've won 4 of their 8 games since Neil Harris has taken over. I mean, more so away from home, but I always feel we struggle against Gillingham. They beat us at the Valley last year, to be fair, and a couple of years ago when Josh Parker scored, for them, not for us. I am really concerned about this game because they will make it ugly and we don't deal with that very well.
Yeah, especially with the new manager, obviously with his Millwall connections, they'll definitely be up for it, and they're fighting for their lives. I think they're on the same number of points as Wimbledon, fourth from bottom, but and Wimbledon fifth from bottom. So somebody mentioned earlier, this is a really huge week when you know, consider we've got Gillingham, Burton, and Wimbledon, one after the other. And I think you need at least 2 wins out of those 3, and it, obviously 3 would be great, but you've got to be able to beat or at least not lose to Gillingham and Wimbledon to make sure that we aren't in squeaky bum time. Because losing to it's unthinkable that we don't pick up any points in the next 3 games, because then we are in the dire straits if that does happen.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to say it, but a point off Gillingham and Wimbledon would not be the end of the world, because it would prevent them from catching up with us. But
well, that's true, of course. Yeah,
if we make it 10 games without a win, then I don't think we'll be I won't be out celebrating the point with my top off. Like it won't feel great. I mean, what changes between now and Tuesday for you? Washington start if he's fit enough to do so.
I think Washington has to start, even if you only get 50-60 minutes out of him. I think he has to start, and then this is going to sound the way we're talking sums up where we are, actually, because if we can get our noses in front against Gillingham, goodness me, and Washington is a catalyst for doing that, then we've got something to hold on to at least. And as I say, that's mad that I'm actually talking like this, but I'd prefer Washington to start, and if he can, alongside Stockley. Other than that, it's a tough one. I mean, we tried a different thing yesterday. We tried to put Sean Clare a bit further forward and have Chris Gunter-Beck, who I agree with one of the contributors, I can't remember her name, beg your pardon, who said Rachel, was it? Yeah, who said that I think Chris Gunter's played quite well, and I tend to agree. I'd still like to see 3 proper centre-halves in the back 3. Famo didn't even make the trip yesterday. I'd just like to see Famo, obviously Innes, but he's injured, but Famo, Lavelle and Pitts as a proper 3 centre-halves, and see if that works, rather than shoehorning in right or left back, or as in Sean Clare's case, a midfielder back there. But you might find Sean Clare might go back to being a right-sided centre-half again on Tuesday, but we'll see, who knows. But it doesn't, again, to a certain extent, it doesn't matter who plays where. It'll all be about the attitude and the commitment to try and get the win, because Gillingham will be up for it. They'll be similar to Accrington, I guess, trying to exploit our weaknesses by lumping balls up top. And we've got to be able to compete with it. And we've got to do what we did against Sunderland against Gillingham. And it's a different style, because Sunderland don't tend to lump it forward. They tend to try and play through. And maybe that's our Achilles heel when we come up against sides that just lump it forward. But we've got to be able to deal with it, and we've got to get something out of Tuesday. We just have to.
And on that cheery note, we'll call it a day there. let's pray that we can get something off Gillingham at the Valley. So thanks to all of you who've listened to this week's Charlton Live. Thanks to those of you who I spoke to at the station yesterday. And also, if you sent your messages in, massive thanks, of course, to Terry for joining me after such a long day yesterday.
Cheers, Louis. I'd love to say it's been a pleasure. And it has, to be fair. No, it has. Yeah.
It's been a chore, but there we go. Right, thanks for listening. I'm Louis Mendes. We'll see you again on Thursday.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.